What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Have you ever thought about getting into real estate?
Getting into real estate? Yes. And only because, like, not because I thought I would be good at it, but only because, like,
because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, like, you know, when you're poor in New York, everyone's like, you should be a, you know, you should get into real estate, you should be a broker, you should, you know,
you should invest in some property.
Oh God. No, I there was one time, well, when my first friend the first friend of mine who got a house, mm-hmm. Was the first time I ever thought, like, I would even put money into, like, a land or something. Like, and that was only,
right.
Well, I guess I was going to say only, but that was probably like 10 years ago now.
Wow. That's a really long time.
It was only.
You want to know something that's sad?
Yeah.
And I'm going to, so Tessa and I, you know, were like, for those who don't know, in the podcast, Tessa is the spokesperson for H&R Block.
And oh, snap.
So you get, you know, a significant amount of money doing that. And, you know, this year wasn't or last year was a pretty decent year for me as well. And so we had more money than we've ever had before, you know, in our lives, both of us combined. And we were like, hey, maybe, you know, this is the time where people start looking at houses. You know, you got it. You buy a house. You live the American dream. You become a homeowner. So we were looking at prices here in L.A., where a lot of this movie is based, where in this movie, they buy an entire building, an entire building that houses 12 different banks in downtown Los Angeles in what they talk about as some of the most expensive real estate in the area. They buy an entire building for under $1.6 million, I believe.
Yeah, but
and
that...
let me tell you right now that if you have $1.6 million, you'll be lucky to get a house with four bedrooms. And three bathrooms. You'll be
lucky. They were paying.
Hold on. I'm telling you, you'll be lucky. That means you got to steal.
Yeah. They were paying Nicholas Holt, though. They're paying him $1.50 an hour to do his job. You know, it was just a different time. Just money. You know, like, it was like you worked really hard to get $1.50, mm-hmm. you know, and so like $1.5 million.
Yeah.
You know, back then was mm-hmm. is
okay. Yeah, do the math. Do the math, James.
It's much larger back then than it is now. Like we're closer to $1.5 million.
There
now
you go. Do the calculations.
Then back then when
come on,
not,
baby.
You were not
yeah.
you, back then, It took a while for you to get to 1.5 million, but now
exactly
you can
exactly
like sneeze and get to.
There you go. That's James the banker.
I saw that one coming.
Just because you were doing the calculations.
No, don't. Don't repeat what. Cause,
well, I'm just saying because you were talking about the 1.5 million back
you
then.
You get because like cause
you
then,
you knew what it was. James, when you play Monopoly, are you the banker?
I typically am the banker. And
James, when you shoot basketball, do you
past
you
this?
Always you always hit the ball off the backboard? And you call yourself the banker?
No, I don't. I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't call myself. And hopefully no one on the court says, oh, I'm the banker, when they just.
There should be a basketball player who always uses the backboard and they call him the banker.
No.
All right. It's time to start the show.
All right.
Jonathan Braylock. James III. Drum Milligan. What more can I say?
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
In Quarantine City, he never needed his glasses. It's the only line I could remember. What
that's
else
hilarious. That's hilarious. That's the. Also, I gotta say, I didn't understand that line. They said that line like Mark Ruffalo says, "I'm always angry." You know what I mean? Like the way in which that line was said was like it was like he never needed his glasses, and you're like, "Oh snap, he about to become the Hulk."
But I think that was what it was, because they keep talking about how like you're really an activist. You're really, you know, you're a part of the movement. They like keep telling him that. And like, we're just supposed to think that like, no, he's this unassuming guy. And then he was like, no, he didn't need his glasses. And he told them what's what.
Right.
You know, he mm-hmm. gave it to those white people. But what was frustrating about it, because, you know, as a glasses-wearing person, mm-hmm. what was frustrating about it, and probably the reason that it stands out to me, is later when they show the picture. So when he took the picture with the president in the movie, he's wearing his glasses. But then when when you see the actual picture, he's not wearing his glasses in that picture, which...
That's true.
Which... makes me go like, did he only sometimes wear his glasses? And like,
or is this completely fabricated
yeah,
just
like,
for the movie?
Not real at all.
And they were like, here's the thing, the real person never wore glasses. And you're like, what?
I don't. Why does that matter?
Does it make him more unassuming? Is that the whole point? Anyway,
I think that was the whole point.
Got it. All right. Well, if you haven't realized by now, my name is Jonathan Braylock. I don't know how you haven't realized that by now.
And my name's James III.
No, what I actually meant to say is Gerard Milligan is not here.
He's not, no.
He's waiting for movers or
yeah, he's
something
getting
like
his
that?
Stuff. He's getting his stuff from New York, and he's taking it to the City of Angels.
Why did you say it like that?
Because like I was getting prepped to do the bit that he does when you set up the show.
Oh, okay,
and
cool.
I'm just in that mindset.
All right, great. Stay in there. For those listening for the first time, we are a film review podcast.
Yeah, we are.
We review movies of leading black actors.
That's right, black people in this junk.
We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
Yeah, we talk about the shit that we go through all the time.
Okay, and today we are reviewing the 2020 film, The Banker, released by Apple TV, meaning, about 78% of our listeners won't be able to see this movie?
We don't know. Maybe every single person who subscribes to this podcast has Apple TV.
Yeah. Well, if you bought a new Apple device in the last, 6, 7, 8 months or so, you'll have a free 1 year subscription to Apple TV. And by the time that year runs up, maybe some of us will still have it and maybe some of us won't.
Yeah. Hopefully my year is up in like 2 months. So we'll see. We'll see if I keep doing it.
So we have this film called The Banker. It stars Anthony Mackie and Samuel Jackson and Nia Long. And Nicholas Hoult. And this film is it was going to be released last year, kind of during award season's time. But there were some controversy because the son of the main character in this film,
Bernard Garrett,
was accused Garrett by Jr. by his half sister of sexual abuse, and he was a co-producer of the film, so they wound up taking his credit out, and I guess just to avoid the bad press, they delayed the release of this film. It's sad that it's all like this, we kind of talked about this last time with Birth of a Nation, mm-hmm. right? Like where you have a really, an important Black historical story to tell, but it's overshadowed by
trash ass men. Trash ass men.
Yeah.
Stop fucking shit up for everybody else. Be a good person. All right.
It really sucks. It really, really does suck. Because this is a very interesting, real story about two African-American entrepreneurs who wound up buying a bunch of property in Los Angeles in what was then white-only neighborhoods and then decide, hey, let's try to buy a bank in Texas, which is even more racist. Which is crazy that it's still true today. And very interesting film. What else do I need to say? Oh, yeah, I guess we'll talk about since this was released on Apple, we obviously don't have any box office.
Yeah.
And Apple doesn't release numbers really either. But Rotten Tomatoes score currently is 77%, which is fresh. And the audience score is 100%. Now, there's only 90 ratings for the audience, but still.
And when it first came out, the ratings were low. Like it was 57, 63 around there when it first came out. And so now, now that people are, I guess more people have seen it, mm-hmm. it's gotten a much better score, which I think is right.
Yeah. The Metacritic score is much lower. It's 59.
Ugh.
They only do certain amounts of reviews. Like they only have 19 reviews, whereas Rotten Tomatoes has 71. 59 for Metacritic is not as bad as it is for Rotten Tomatoes, but it's still not great, obviously.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, and this was of course based on a true story. So we'll talk about some of the fact versus fiction stuff, but else do I have to say? Nothing really.
That's it. You covered that.
We
laid that out.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day. Or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice, or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earning can help you today. Make earning a part of your financial routine. Enjoy earnings over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about earning, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earning today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earning app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earning.com/DOS for details. Earning is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with. When you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl though, sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Okay.
We hear The Banker.
The Banker.
The Banker.
The starring Anthony Mackie and Samuel L. Jackson. I'll tell you my initial thoughts.
Okay, you're going to go first.
I'm going to go first. I liked it.
Okay.
I liked The Banker. I was rapt by the story, which I did not know before seeing it.
Me neither.
And I liked it. I kept thinking about two movies. I kept thinking about Hidden Figures, and I kept thinking about American Gangster, because, you know, Hidden Figures kind of had this kind of style of like, you know, like let's kind of try to tell like a lighthearted story about like about black important black figures, you know, who never got their credit, which is, you know, and then an American Gangster, you know, is about, you know, the rise of this black criminal. And like what I loved about this story in particular was like just how intelligent they were. Like my man was listening outside of banker's windows and scribbling notes and equations and stuff, like figuring out like how to do finance at such an early age, and like grew up to be so incredibly smart and such a strong business person. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed the ensemble. I enjoyed Anthony Mackie and Samuel Jackson's relationship. Now hearing that like the women felt like, why weren't we really in this story? The women involved in the story felt like they weren't really in it. Like it did sort of feel like they threw in one moment for Nia Long to be like, oh, why? Because I'm a woman? And then they were like, cool, we did it. Like, good for us. We addressed that, you know. But movies like this always feel that way. Like Hidden Figures feel like you start to feel like, oh, they aren't going deep enough when they can, because they're trying to tell like a more like a kind of fluffier, fun version of the story. Right. So like I get that. What else do I want to say? I ultimately enjoyed how, I wish that they didn't paint. I feel like the way that they ended the Matt Steiner story was a little bit like they were like, oh, but also there was like one more thing. He was like, was he bad? Was he good? You know, like they kind of like,
yeah, they were like, interesting.
Hey, maybe he, you know, and they chose to put it afterwards in a way that like, I don't know if it just feels like they didn't want to be like, this man was a villain, you know, which I don't know. Like, I feel like I was like, oh, I hope this white man doesn't ruin everything for them. And then he did. So it's like, just, you can let it be that and that's fine, you know?
Yeah.
But ultimately enjoyed the movie.
Right. Yeah, this controversy stuff is interesting. I'm like still reading more about it. But I think I'm going to save that for later, because I just want to talk about the film as it stands outside of, you know, this stuff, which is
right.
You know, overall I really liked this film. I think it was very, I think it's important that we know these stories, you know, and we never do. We never get to hear them. It takes so long for us to hear stories like this when it's surrounding, you know, black people and race, and making white people. Here's the thing I'll say real quick. This is the thing that I liked about The Banker more than most films that are of this ilk, which is like Oscar bait, you know, movies about African Americans. The bad guy in this movie, you know, at the end of the day, the bad people in this movie aren't people who are wearing hoods. They're not people who are like, you little monkey coon. You know, yeah. They're not like screaming racial epithets. They're not like wanting to, like, I hate black people. I don't want to ever see them again. You know, they're people who are just like, all right, yeah, black people, cool. But also, you are like lower than us.
Yeah.
They're very calm, collected about it. They're very sneaky. Like, it's very underhanded. And, like, the ultimate, I do, like, regardless of whatever the movie kind of try to, like, make some white people feel better with Nicholas Holt's character, like, I do think at the end of the day, like, his character is the ultimate villain. He betrayed them the most. Like, the other dude, it's like, the other dude, you knew. They knew who he was.
Yeah.
But they trusted this other white guy. And this other white guy utterly betrayed him. And then, because he was white, was allowed to get away with all of the criminal activities that he did and put it on these black men. Not to mention, he put it on these black men who literally took this guy from, like, lower class to, like, upper middle class. Like, and the only reason they needed him was because of the racism in society. They literally were paying him to be white. Like, I think they say that in the movie.
They do.
He's like,
and they also
I'm being
say,
paid to be white.
Right. And they also say, we created a monster in the first scene. Like, the moment they put him together, like, we've created right. a monster. And then we see that monster unfold as the movie goes on.
Right. And to me, it's such a great example of how racism works today. It's not this, like, I think so many people still have these ideas of, like, racism is when, you know, Martin Luther King is like you know, peacefully walking down the thing, and then like a bunch of police officers like beat them over the head with billy clubs. And yet, there are some people who don't even think that's racism, or for some reason think that was different then, but when that happens today, that it's not the same.
Yeah, because black people are everywhere and they're allowed to do anything now, and so if I hit them now, it's equal.
Because some black people went into a Target and like grabbed some groceries. The black people who were in the streets peacefully protesting getting beat, that's okay. but it's this thing of like, you know, this movie kind of shows how the effects of systemic racism are still being felt today, because think about how many different times so many different black people, this is just one story. This is a story of people who are very exceptional and figured out a way to like cheat the system, and then lost everything anyway, you know. And you're talking about people. So we'll never have full movies of smaller stories of people who bought a couple of houses and then this happened to them, or people who want it, who had the expertise to do this stuff but never could because they could never get loans, or they weren't allowed to buy in certain neighborhoods, you know, X, Y, Z. There's so many things. And like, when you stack that on top of each other, you start to see, oh yeah, this stuff has an accumulating effect that keeps down an entire group of people based off of the color of their skin. And it doesn't have to be because all the people who are keeping them down are outwardly saying, I don't like black people. You know, it right. just happens. And it has a chilling effect as well, because the people who try it and fail, the other people go, well, I guess we'll never try that because we can't win that way.
Right.
So for those reasons, I like this movie a lot. Now, does it suffer from a little bit of like, you know, it's not the same as Hidden Figures. We don't have like a white savior, like Kevin Costner type character. Or I guess you could argue if Chief O'Brien is that. Sorry, I'm watching Deep Space Nine. I mean,
Chief O'Brien. How do you say?
that's Chief O'Brien. How do you say his name? C-O-L-M.
Colm.
Colm Meaney.
Yeah, but even he's like, you know, unless he didn't exist, right? Like unless that didn't happen that way. Which ended up being the issue with freaking Kevin Costner in right. Hidden Figures. But like, then it's like, no, he doesn't feel like a savior kind of character.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like, it's like, you know, he's a businessman and was doing and was ultimately doing whatever was going to benefit him in the end, you know?
Right. Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to see where this movie, because the people who are doing who are talking about this are his ex-wives and then the daughters from those mothers. But Eunice, who's in the movie, that's a different person. So he had two other wives after Eunice, the one in the movie.
Oh, okay. And also,
and I'm trying to track this timeline.
Isn't
so
the
hard.
Wife who he's with when this actually goes down is not Eunice? Like, isn't it Linda? Hold on.
Right. Is that true?
I thought that was what I read. And so then I was.
Yes. I see this. Yes. She's saying my husband divorced Eunice in 1959.
Yeah.
We met after that.
And this movie ends in what, like 60? Anyway, I hate when that happens, when right. a character like that becomes a hodgepodge of different people that like had a very important impact on on this person, and they're like, no, it was this one. It's just like, no, that isn't
right.
what happened.
I wonder if that's because of the son, because I think the son is the son of Eunice.
And so he and his contribution is like is big upping Eunice in the telling of the story. And then Linda is like, why was I not even in this movie when I was there when he screamed at the Supreme Court or whatever. It's like,
right.
Why did you cut me out?
Right.
Woo.
All right. Well, the actual history of this, we haven't done enough research to actually figure to piece this together. Cause I can't, it sounds like Apple was like, we hear them, blah, 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 but we think this film is important anyway. They didn't necessarily make a correction. You know what I mean? They weren't like, this is what's the real account or whatever. They didn't, and they could have because this, all this stuff was brought up before they released the film. So they could have changed the, like at the end, right? You know, you could have like said like,
yeah,
this actually
you could have
happened
said
or that.
He married Linda and Linda was actually there when he made all this money. Like, it's like,
it's like, yeah.
Like, what is the point of being like, it was Eunice the whole time? Like, what, what do they gain from that? I don't, nothing.
Right. But then they also, it seems like they're saying they trust their researchers who did the research for this and that it sounds like they're disagreeing, which I don't know how. It feels like something that should be very obvious. Like,
right.
There should be very clear documentation about this. So it's hard to get into this controversy stuff, and I kind of don't want to. I don't know if that's unfair.
I mean, it would be unfair for us to get into it not as informed as we.
Like, right, exactly.
That will do it even more injustice. That will do even more.
We didn't realize that there was all this controversy until after we saw the movie, right before we started this podcast. Like, because we were like, why wasn't there more? why wasn't this push more? And then we're like, oh, there's like all this controversy that happened. Anywho, well, okay. Shall we talk about the movie?
We must. We absolutely must.
Because I will say, I think the reason this movie stands out is because the performances are great. You know, like, yeah. I think,
yeah,
you know, and Anthony Mackie, Samuel Jackson, like, it's a great duo that they have. And Nia Long is incredible. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, just, I mean, all of that. And in terms of the history, too, it's like Samuel Jackson is such a big character in this film. And his character doesn't, his real life counterpart doesn't have like a Wikipedia. Like, there isn't even anything substantially written on this guy, at least through that vein. Not that Wikipedia is the be all end all, but like... They would have an article about him, right?
Right.
There's a lot to be said for the story being told, however many inaccuracies it may have had.
Right. All right. So the start of this film, yeah, it's this film starts with this little boy who's shining shoes, and then he goes over and he's like listening in on. Well, actually, at the shoe shine, he's listening in. And he's like taking notes,
yeah,
about all of these different like real estate or business stuff. And he's sitting on a window sill and, you know, eavesdropping and writing down notes, trying to learn how the white man makes money. I think they literally say that.
That is what he says. He says, "I want to learn how the white folks make money," and like his dad, everyone's mad at him. His dad's not okay with it. Like.
Some security guard yells at him. It seems like, yeah, black people are trying to protect him. His dad says something to the effect of, you will never be able to do this in Texas.
Yeah.
You know. And then he says, well, then I'll go find another place that will. And then he's like, good luck. And then he goes to LA.
Yeah, baby. He's in a suit. He has a nice car. You're like, oh, what's up? What's going on? They sort of jump to him already having money, right? Like, it's like they...
It's so funny. It's hard to, like, track down exactly what he did or didn't have because they have this whole scene where the next time we see him, he's already married.
Yeah.
And been married for a couple of years. And he's like looking at different houses and he's like talking to his wife about like the price of them or this and that. And then they like have a scene where he's eating dinner with his in-laws, and you know, his father-in-law is like, you know, like, why don't you have a, basically like, why don't you have a real job?
Right. Like, what's wrong with the trade? Yeah. Like, what's wrong with real work? They say something
like that.
What's
wrong with real work? Which I have, just like as a side note, I have to say, I'm going to admit my bias to the work that he's in, I think is really, really bad. And it's really like just morally corrupt. And I also think that it's interesting that it's white people who are like the ones who were able to do this and like have dominated this industry for so long because they literally could and other people couldn't. But it's part of the reasons why I think it's so corrupt is because of how racist it is. And this idea of, you know, you get to own land and that land appreciates in value and then you sell it and then you buy other land and you take all this wealth that you've accumulated and you just buy things that people need, which is homes to live in.
Yep.
And then exploit people like, and like, you're not, you aren't doing real work. The work that you're doing is just a couple of math problems. And then you're like going,
but
all
it's
right,
math
well,
problems that I can't do, Bray. That's what I'm saying, because this is my thing, because I can't do all that math in my head right there in the moment. I don't have the gift of gab. I can't sit down and be like, nah, brother, 12.5%. I don't have that skill, you know? And I believe that is, that's work. That takes effort.
What's the skill? We can charge people this much. Yeah. We can buy something for less and then charge them this much to live in a place.
Yep. And knowing where you can get people, knowing exactly the spot where you can just sort of get them where they're going to have to give you the money.
You have to give me the money or else you're not going to have a place to live.
Just knowing right where to get them. Woo.
Anyway, we have a huge homelessness crisis in America.
That don't got nothing to do with Bernard. Bernard,
no,
bumping
no.
Black people up.
Wait, I know it has nothing to do with Bernard Garrett. Bernard, at least Bernard could, you could at least say that he actually was trying to help Black people, because he says he was trying to help Black people buy homes. He was trying to help Black people. He was trying to get Black people to be in nicer neighborhoods. He actually was trying to do something that was good, even if it was in this practice industry that's like, but the reason the industry is morally bankrupt is because of all of these racist redlining, you know, Jim Crow, not to mention the fact that we never got our 40 acres. Anyway.
We never got our 40 acres.
Sorry, I just heard Gerard mentally say to me, John, this is not a political podcast. So he's confused as to why we're talking about this.
But here's the thing. I'm going to say it. This is a political podcast. This is the politicalist of podcasts.
Well, this is a political movie a little bit. I mean, it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be like, man, look at this Black man who is just smart and the white people wanted to keep him down. As opposed to like, yeah, capitalism is evil. Anyway, sorry, I'm not talking about it. This is not a political podcast. All right. So yeah, his dad was like, his father-in-law was like, why don't you get a real trade? And then, you know, you're taking on too much risk. And he's like, I'll pay the rent, you know, a month in advance, right on time. You won't have to worry about that. And then he leaves. And then Nia Long's like, daddy, if it comes to it, you know, I'll work, you know, I'll keep us afloat. Don't worry about it. I trust him. He's really smart. You'll see. Go ahead.
She works at the club that she works at. What's it called? Was it the Plantation Room? The Platinum Club. What was it called? Do you remember the name of the club?
I don't remember the name of the club.
Did I think it was the but why did my thought go to the Plantation Room? That can't
be
right.
I was like, really? That's what it was called?
Is it called the Plantation Room?
That feels wrong.
Okay, I'm going to call it the Platinum Club, but I don't think it was that either. But she works at the club that's one of the businesses that Samuel L. Jackson his
career. Right. Yes. And yeah, the father-in-law is like, well, if he was a real man, he wouldn't let you work. Which, sexism? But it's the 60s. This movie, I will say this. This movie had a couple of these like woke moments that I usually eye roll, but I was kind of like, it felt natural. Like I eye rolled all of them. You eye rolled all of them?
It made me so mad.
There were some that I was like, here's the thing about it. You really do have to break it down for people in this simplistic way that they do.
Yeah.
Like when Nia Long later on in the movie was like, she's like, why? Because I'm a woman? And Anthony Mackie's like, yeah. And she's like, how is that any different from the white man saying that you can't do this because you're black? And he doesn't respond. And I was like, yes, you know, that is the thing. There's zero chance this conversation happened.
Yeah, there's no way. There's just no way that came out of her mouth. There's no
obviously, you know, if it did come out of her mouth, we know that the real Garrett divorced this woman.
Yes. Or it was like a much more heated conversation that they just sort of they were like, and how is that any different? And then we just linger on his face, thinking about this, letting all this sink in.
So like, this is like, and this is what these types of movies do. They kind of like clean it up for us to make us feel like it is an effective way of getting a clear message across. The problem can be if people watch it and go, if they nod along in the theater and go, yep, she's right. And then we're like, everything's all good now. Instead of going like, no, she said that. And then he was like, we're getting a divorce.
Right. or even like, it's like, you know, people still think that exact thing.
100%. Black men still think that exact same thing.
That exact thing.
And white people still think the, you know what I mean? It's like, I did like how many Karens were in this film.
There were so many. they had all of those moments. They had them say a thing, or like what you were talking about up top of like, it's not like they were like being overtly racist. They would be like, but what about? And then they would stop themselves, you know, like they would stop themselves from saying whatever that thing was going to be.
They like have this whole thing where he goes to the club that she's working at because he found a building that he thinks is going to be great, but he doesn't have enough money for it. She wants him to meet someone. She was like, well, maybe you need a co-investor. He meets Samuel Jackson, but Samuel Jackson immediately just starts making jokes about like how nice his wife looks, how he's lucky, you know, like in this way of like, it doesn't feel good to him. And
he literally
like,
says, if you're going to get married, I'm not the married type, but she's the one. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, don't tell me that. I will shank you, sir. Sir, I have a shank in my pocket. I will shank you.
He's like, hey, let's drink. She's like, it's 4 o'clock. And he's like, I know you're getting a late start, but I won't hold it against you or whatever. Very funny. I mean, I thought Samuel Jackson was so great in this movie. Like,
yeah,
it's just like his character is kind of a degenerate, but he's like, you know, he makes him likable. The dichotomy between the two of them is really nice to like play off of. It's just very clear. All of this movie is very clean. It's just very like, you know, it feels cookie cutter, but also I like cookies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, cookies are good.
It's
who
like
doesn't
yes.
like cookies. If you don't like cookies, you're a demon person.
It's like I will eat a Pillsbury Doughboy you know, biscuit. Like, mm-hmm. it's not.
I will eat a little
there
Debbie.
There are better
snack
ones.
Cake.
There are better ones, but like, this one's pretty. There's a reason hey, this right. one's pretty popular.
All right. I enjoyed this movie, Bray. Stop calling it a weak cookie. Stop calling it a weak cookie.
I'm not saying it's weak.
It had
I'm
a little bit. There was like a little bit.
It's commercialized.
There was like a little bit of. It had the glaze. Like yeah. it had a little bit of that glaze.
It's a Krispy Kreme donut.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's like those are good donuts.
Are you about to donuts. Make me hate Krispy
Kreme
donuts?
I'm just saying. No. I'm just saying. You know. It's like that's right. I like those donuts, but it's also it's a franchise. You
right,
know?
Right, yeah. you like these donuts, but also you've had them many times before.
There's something about the imperfections of a mom and pop place mm-hmm. that's nice.
Yeah, it's
as
tough
opposed
to
like, mm-hmm. you know, you're like, all right. So, sometimes I go to mom and pop and like it's really good one day, and then the next day it's not as good, but it's like, oh, it's got some character. And this one's like, listen, you know what you're gonna get, and it's gonna be good. And you're like, great. All right.
Here's
what it is.
This made me mad though. Okay.
What made you mad?
He goes to, and this happened in real life, I guess. But he goes, he finally gets on the guy's side. Like when the mm-hmm. guy is like, yeah, like here, man. Like, cause after Samuel Jackson, he like turns Samuel Jackson down. But when he goes to Combe and he like tries to get the loan, Combe turns it down. Right. Mm-hmm. And then he.
That's right. He teams up with White Chief O'Brien first.
Yes. And the redhead guy at the bank also is like, I'm not going to give you a loan. But Combe gets like excited by the fact that Anthony Mackie had all of this, like, you know, had all this gusto, like had all this initiative. And, but moments after they make this huge deal, he dies.
Well, I think that was just in the context of the movie. I think it was some
they
time.
They had a lot of properties at that point. He said he owned what, a couple, like not a couple hundred.
Dozen?
Like nearly, yeah. No, it was like a bunch. It was like, I thought it was like 50% of like 80, 90 properties or something crazy like that.
Whoa. Was it that high already?
Wasn't it like super high? That's what I thought.
I thought it was like a dozen or so. Whatever. It doesn't really matter. He makes this off the books agreement with this white dude because they had a partnership. They were going to split everything 50-50. But, and he said this at the time, and when Tess and I were watching it, we were both like, uh-oh, he's about yeah. to get screwed. You know? Because they were like, he's like, my name has to be on the thing. They can't really know that you're a part of this. Otherwise, they won't let you. You know, it won't happen. And he was like, okay, cool. And they do like a handshake agreement. But then we see that they're buying up these properties. Yeah. It's working out. And we're like, and you're like, oh, I guess he didn't get screwed. That's nice. But then he dies. And then his wife is like, I want all the properties back. And he's like, well, no, this is a 50-50 partnership. I don't want to sell them. I want, like, I like this business that I'm in. And she was like, I'm not going to do business with a colored person.
Nope,
buying
she stops
properties
herself. She doesn't say colored. She says, I'm not going to do business with. You will take this deal.
Right. I am not going to do business with. And then she offers him pennies to the dollar on the properties, and he's like, this is ridiculous. And she's like, okay. And then the lawyer seemed to be on his side because he knew what the husband wanted. And she was like, okay, how about this then? 25 cents to the dollar, even though I owe you 50 cents to the dollar. But if you say no, I'm gonna take you to court and we'll see who wins. And obviously she would win. Not only because
there's
no paperwork, but also because she's just a white woman going against a black man. She would, of course, win. And so he takes that deal. So he loses out. He loses money on that. But he has some money, and then he's like, okay, I gotta go do my own thing. I think he almost like immediately was like,
well, what they did was like, we see him, at least in the context of the movie, he then leaves that meeting and he walks through the bank building and it just kind of looks around. Oh. And he's like, all right then.
right. They did that thing where he has the idea, like, I'll buy the bank building. And so that way I'll always get the loan. They can't because I'm their landlord. Which already seemed like a somewhat of a flawed plan to me, because I was like, they'll just move.
Yeah, but no one did. No one moved from here, because we see that like uppity white woman move out of the apartment. She's like, right. Oh, I'm not staying here. But no, everyone's like, once he's there and owns the building, everyone's like, oh yeah, and they like shake his hand, and it's like that seemingly went over flying colors.
Right. Yeah. And so he teamed up with Samuel Jackson to buy the building, but then this is when they get Nicholas Hoult involved.
Yes. Yes.
Because like, we'll never be able to buy this by ourselves. So we have 1 month to teach Nicholas Hoult not only how to do these negotiations and seem like he is able to do these negotiations, but also to play golf, because white people do business deals over golf, and golf clubs have exclusive memberships, many of which excluded black people for long periods of time, and arguably today probably still do, depending still on, do. You know, whatever, where it is, you know, legacy stuff. Anyway,
to have... This the training program that this dude goes through in a month to have that would just be amazing. Like,
here's the thing, he got paid to have financial lessons from two extremely smart people. He got paid to do this. He got paid to learn how to make money.
Yeah. And where he couldn't learn, he just memorized, which is like wild also. Yeah. And I mean, when we see him like fully, like once he fully is like, he has all the skills, and like he's hitting the golf ball, like he has a 300 foot, whatever that first hit is. What's it called in golf? Your first
hole in one?
It doesn't matter.
Drive?
Yeah, whatever your first hit. So he has a 300 foot drive. And it's just, I don't know, he's fine dining and he gets so right. much shit in that month. It's amazing.
Yeah. And it works out. It's crazy, but it works. He like is able to go in, do this negotiation, memorize all this different stuff, because I mean, the thing that like, it's so crazy that Anthony Mackie was able to predict every single move this other dude would make.
Yeah.
So that Nicholas Hoult could memorize a script and respond to it in a way that was successful.
Yeah.
And it was. That's wild.
Yeah, he's gonna come at you with 10% when it should be 12, and then they cut to him doing that exact thing. And then he was like, give him two options, knowing that he would pick the lesser one, like phrasing it in a way that was like, you know, we'll do this or we'll do this. And then he ends up picking the
one. He's like, but you can't use your accountant. You can't use your calculator guy. And then he's like, how did I do? You lost out on 17K. And he's like, oh, well. Oh, well? This is 1960s. If I lost out on 17K today, my year would be ruined.
Nah, he knew. Not that dude, though. That dude was...
I know, not that dude. And that dude today is closer to, well, to the... disparity between that dude and me, disparity between that dude and a poor person in the 60s is not as great as the disparity between me and a dude like that today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But
I'm sorry.
We're
just
closer
like,
to 1.5 million than we ever have been before. And that's...
And that can't get you squat. In L.A.? A building? LOL.
No. No.
Do people understand what $1 billion is? No. Okay.
No, no. And anytime I see the graphs that are like, this is a billion, or like, this is how many rice a billion is versus if this many rice is a million, this, I'm like, I still can't imagine.
You're still like,
that
what?
Much money. It's too much. It's too much. And Bezos has all the billions. He just has all the billions. He just got
it's
all the
so
billions.
Gross.
He that just sitting think, with it.
I can't. This
he's
is not
Scrooge McDucking with the billions. Like
he literally is.
He actually has enough to, for it to be a full billion.
We're literally never going to work again. We're talking.
No,
we are never going to work.
Cut
again.
This sound bite out. But. What did we all say? Right. All we said, hold on. All I said was he has all
he
the billions. Did I say anything that wasn't just straight up fact? Like that's
true.
He just does have it.
Okay, and so this whole the plan's working out. They're buying a bunch of property in white-owned neighborhoods. This guy.
Yes,
the front
I love
man.
This. I love the little like the map. Boop, boop, yeah, boop, boop, boop. And seeing the like how it's like it started as a map of blacks and whites and then mixed. There are so many dots. He was integrating, baby. Integrating, baby.
And so what happens after this? Then. They're succeeding, they're doing all well, and so then Anthony Mackie's like, I want to buy that. He goes back home, he visits his dad's like, I'm proud of you, son, you did great, you found a place that you could do that, you still couldn't do that here. And he's
yeah.
like
and as he's I feel like that's also compounded by like as he's moving around the city, he sees how bad it is for black people there, and like this was and it was it here's the thing, I could never do any of this, but it's the step that he decides to take here that I feel like is the hardest one, of like him being like, no, I'm gonna
and here's the thing, it's such a complicated thing, and the film, you know, because he's our hero, paints him as this. He's doing this for the
for
black
good.
People in his neighborhood. Mm-hmm. He's doing mm-hmm. it to be like a revolutionary, this kind of thing. And hey, now did his actions have that kind of consequence? Like, yeah. Do I think his motives were really pure? I don't know if I put completely by that. I think it has a lot to do with his pride.
Yeah,
has
oh, a lot 1,000%.
That he was just like, him and the other guy were both like, I mean, the thing that's funny that I liked about Samuel Jackson's character was he kept being like, oh, like, one, he was like, you're angry. And he's like, I'm not angry. And it was like, yeah, you totally are angry, dude. Like, you have a rage, and it's a justified rage, but you're not, because you're not acknowledging it, I'm sure it's it comes out in unhealthy ways. And then the other thing is, like, they both were like, yeah, I just want to, like, stick it to Whitey. Like, that's why I'm doing this. Like, I feel he feels... disrespect, like it's like the idea that he can't do something because he's black, he wants to prove, you know, he wants to prove his dad wrong, he wants to prove the white people of that town wrong.
Absolutely.
You know, he's doing it for himself.
Absolutely.
It's still like there's noble intentions kind of underneath it, but he's more doing it for himself, and because of that, he ignores. Sammy Jackson's like, this is a bad idea. His wife's like, I don't know. Like, you can, I think she nails it, right? They give her the thing of like, if you want to do that, like, if you actually want to help black people, you can do other things. Like, you don't need to buy this bank. Like, there are other ways to do this. But he but because it's more personal, he wants to buy that bank. So they hatch a plan to go buy the bank, and they do. Again, using Nicholas Hoult, they had to learn banking, which is a whole other thing.
And this whole time, because like, obviously the thing that's brewing underneath all this is like what Nicholas Hoult's, Matt Steiner's role in this company is going to be or going to become, like in this partnership is going to be or become, right? And the fact they have to learn banking becomes important later because like they weren't bankers before doing this. None of them were. And so everyone had to learn banking in whatever amount of time it was that they had. But Matt Steiner and his wife are like, aren't you going to be the next, like, aren't, I thought you were going to be partner. Like, what happened? Like, why aren't you doing that? You know, she's whispering, she's Lady Macbething in his ear. And that's how everything goes to shit.
Yeah.
But and, one of the,
yeah, go ahead.
The before we even get there though, the thing that I found crazy was like, they were like, we're going to own this thing that we aren't allowed to go into. Like, they aren't allowed to go into the bank physically in Texas.
Right. But they, right. But he goes in as a chauffeur.
Yeah. Samuel Jackson goes in as a chauffeur. And Anthony Mackie finally dresses up as a chauffeur. He's not going to wear the hat, but he dresses up and he sits in the car.
I mean, I guess this comes coming to an end now.
Yeah, it's like it's a couple, you know, it's a couple weeks of like, of the banking kind of going well. The son of the banker that owns, I think the mainland banking, like he still has like 20% in the bank, so he's still there day to day.
Right, but like he's suspicious immediately.
Yeah, like they approve like 19 loans in a week or something. Like,
right,
in which he had been working there since he was 18. They had never approved that many, large
and he's like, number. Where are you finding these people? He's like, I don't understand where you're finding these people, and that's because they're rent. You know, loaning it to
black people
who could pay back these loans, but would never be allowed to because they're black. Yeah. There's a whole episode. If you listen to the podcast 1619, the New York Times one that also got into a bunch of controversy because some schools wanted to use it. And then, you know, people in like Trump supporters, Trump administration, people were like, oh, this is. Or certain Republicans were like, this is racist because you want us to like listen to this history where black people are being oppressed. I don't know. I was trying to like formulate their argument outside of just we don't want to know about white supremacy, even though we're white supremacists. But they have an episode about this guy who owns a farm. His father owned a farm and it got passed on to him, but they wind up losing their farmland because they couldn't get these crop loans in time from the banks. And and there was this whole thing that happened in the 90s where there was a lawsuit, and it was actually one of the biggest lawsuits ever won against America, against the United States government, for these crop loans not being given out to different black people. And it's like, even though they won the lawsuit, or even though this guy has this story written about him, the damage is already done. This is the thing that people don't understand, is that it's like, it's true. I actually used this metaphor the other day talking to this random person on the internet, but it's truly like, if you think of capitalism as a race, right? And a group of people have to have their legs bound and everyone else can run freely. And after, let's say it's a marathon, right? 26 miles. And then after, you know, 20 miles, you go, okay, the people who have their legs bound, that wasn't fair. Unbind their legs. Okay, now let's resume. Is this now a fair race?
Right.
Obviously not.
No.
You would have to catch those people up, but which is the whole case of reparations. But the reality is those people will never catch up because the government won't give reparations. They're not fixing anything. Just by stopping something that's illegal doesn't fix the thing. It just means you're not doing more harm. You know, if a house is burning and somebody continues to pour gasoline on it, when you make them stop pouring gasoline on it, you haven't fixed the burning house. You've right. just stopped making it worse. But that's the whole thing with like so many people today, because they want to go, well, that's not my, I didn't do that, or my father did, or my grandfather did, or even like the immigrants, like this guy, you know, like because Chief O'Brien's character was Irish, right? And it's mm-hmm. like, oh, they don't really like me that well too, but I can still do this because I'm technically, I can be white now. And it's like, okay, so you didn't, but you still are benefiting from this society that created the concept of white and black, where white is included and black is excluded. And yeah. so, you know, again, it's like people try to think about this in terms of like, fair. Well, it's not fair. How come black people, you know, why should a black person get something over a white person if they're equally qualified or this and that? And it's like, okay, but there was an entire hundred, you know, well, you know, slavery, if you really want to go all the way back to the 1600s, yep. you know what yep. I mean? It's like hundreds and hundreds of years of oppression. And then now, and you benefiting from that, either from your direct lineage ancestors or just the fact that you've come in at a time where racism is still being undone. And so you can't undo it just by going, okay, we'll stop these super unfair rules. And that's not even to include the fact that the unfair rules aren't fully even stopped.
but they don't want to hear about that, right? Don't tell. La 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 la. I can't hear. If black people would just stop talking about it, then it would just go away.
Right.
It would just go away.
It's like, I truly like think about this like playing a game where the person's like, you're playing like a game of basketball or something, and the person is allowed every time they make a basket, it's allowed to count for 12 points. And then they're like, okay, fine. And now every point will count for one. Okay. And we're up 137 to 7. And you're like, well, no, like you have to undo that stuff. And they're like, why? That's not fair. They're like, okay, how about this? Our points count for 12 now, you know, for the next 5 minutes, and your points count for one. Oh, so you just want to reverse racism. No, the game is unfair. It's you've already been able to get ahead, so now you have to let us catch
It's reversed
up.
At that point. It's because
well, now that's a reverse. So reversed. You didn't care about equality. You just want you to have more. All right, that's exactly what it's like. It's so infuriating. Anyway, so this Florence dude, you know, he's tracking him down. He's following Nicholas Holt. Also, Nicholas Holt's character is a dummy, so he just knows, like, he's like, there has to be some other people behind this because this guy's clearly not smart enough to be doing this. And then figures out that black people are running this bank, and they're like, hey, if the word got out black people were running this bank, there'd be a run on the bank. And he's like, well, how would word get out, you know? And so he's like trying to bribe them. Or blackmail them. And, you know, at a certain point, some people, you know, there's rumors going around that the bank is owned by the NAACP, which I thought was so funny. Because the NAACP is a prestigious, or it's not like it's just run by two random black people. It's like it's run by one of the most prestigious organizations in America. Who, this is the 60s. Like, that means Martin Luther King is alive.
They don't like that, though. They don't like that. It doesn't matter that the NAACP is the NAACP. They're like, oh, The NAACP run this?
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't like this part though because Matt Steiner used it. He used this as an opportunity to push his agenda of being partner. He used this as a time to say, hey, even though he has opened a new bank,
he shouldn't be a partner.
He shouldn't be a partner because he doesn't know he doesn't know as much as them. And but
he wants to run his own bank.
He throws the fact that they all just learned banking at the same time in their faces. But it's like, you don't remember that you didn't know anything to do with any finances just a couple years. You didn't know any of that shit.
That's so he's like, yeah, well, we all just did. He was like, yeah, but I know I'm smarter than you. That's the thing he didn't want to hear, and his wife certainly didn't want to hear.
No, she said, how can they be smart?
Yes. I don't know. They're smart. It's like, they're smarter than me. How could they be smarter? No, they're not smarter than you. They're what? They're my friends. Don't walk them. Holy crap. You're a racist? You believe that white people are superior to black people? That's the thing. She's like, they can't be smart. That's literally what racism is. Okay, I'm going to stop talking about this.
The movie just has mad examples of core of racism.
So then he's running his own bank and he comes up with this idea. He's like, why don't you transfer these black loans over to this other bank, right? Because the inspection's going to come and they're going to see these black loans and they're going to make some stuff up. Even though, you know, Anthony Mackie's like, but these are solid loans. Even if they did review them, it's fine. And Samuel Jackson's like, LOL. Like, are you kidding? Like, you think this is about legalism and fair? Like, are you insane, dude? Like, you really think that the law is going to protect you? Why don't you understand? They write the laws. They determine what is or is not legal. Everything is left up into interpretation. There's going to be a jury of your peers, and your peers happen to be 12 white men. Sorry. You're going to lose this. So they're trying to hide these black loans into this other bank. And then and he's like, okay, great. And then he's like, but we don't have enough money to buy it, blah, blah, blah. They come up with this scheme where they're going to purchase a bunch of loans. Oh, by the way, I also will admit a lot of this stuff can probably go over people's heads. This movie, I don't think will ever be that popular because even though they do explain it pretty simply, like there's that whole thing where he's like, okay, explain what a bank does in three sentences.
Yeah.
Like, a bakery bakes buns. A bank sells loans. You know, the materials of baked goods cost X amount and they charge slightly more than what they cost to make a profit. A bank, you know, gets a loan at 3% interest and then they sell it at 5% interest. So they make a profit. That's how banking works. And he's like, whoa, three sentences. and like, even that much is like, I like when he's like explaining the first thing about what is it? CPR or whatever the flip it is. I don't even remember anymore, but like, he's explaining like the rate stuff, like how you calculate it. And like, he explains it so simply, and then Nicholas Holt's like, I don't even know what you just said. And I know he's being the audience because the audience is also sitting there going like, I came here to watch a movie, not a math lesson. If I wanted a math lesson, I'd go back to high school and get my GED. Now,
why is it?
Well, they're making the audience dumb. I mean, they're assuming the audience is dumb. And maybe we are all stupid.
But it's also like, it's like they didn't... You know, they didn't need to necessarily explain it in that way, but they needed to include math discussions, right? And so they were like, okay, we'll pepper in a little 1 + 1 = 2 for them, you know, and dress it up as.
Yeah. Anyway, so they have this whole thing where they're going to buy a bunch of loans. And then pay them a commission for finding the loans, right? Which will be super, super high, but we'll give them the money, you know, that they need it to buy this bank. And so they do that. But Anthony Mackie is very clear. He's like, okay, here are the loans. I looked over these loans. Go to this lawyer. I trust this lawyer. And then, you know, buy them. And then he's like, yeah, I did that. I contacted the lawyer already. Yeah, it's fine. But what we realized later on is that he actually probably forgot to talk to the lawyer. And then he was like, oh, because he's like, no, it was too fast. It wasn't too fast. You just didn't do what you were supposed to do. And so this is wild. I cannot believe that this actually happened. He goes to Florence, the dude who literally obviously trying to take over.
I can't.
Who hates these dudes who are black to get a lawyer.
He did that. I can't believe he did that. And when he gets the loans and starts signing for them, he doesn't look at anything.
Doesn't look at anything.
He doesn't understand it. Right. Even if he looked at it,
he wouldn't have understood it. It wouldn't have even mattered.
Right. And which we learn in the next scene, because they get audited. Like the next scene is like, oh, the audit is here. I thought that wasn't supposed to be for another month. Well, he's here now.
Right. Why? Because like, these are a bunch of bad loans in here.
Every loan had something wrong with it. And like,
so they were the wrong loans. The guy switched out the loans. Florence switched out the loans, filled it with a bunch of crap loans, and so the commission is on them right away. Why? Because, you know, all this stuff. But I was just LOLing when I was watching this because I was like, oh, this is literally what happened in 2008. The whole financial crisis that happened was because huge, respectable white financial institutions were buying crap loans, selling them as if they were good loans, and then as all of these terrible loans started to default, it collapsed this whole economic system, in which the government then had to step in. And guess who went to jail? Literally none of them. And you know what happened, though? They all got bailout money, and then they got to pay themselves bonuses from the government taxpayer funds.
Bray, you're missing the whole thing, which is they were in trouble. And they all the money was bad, and so they needed more money.
Right, and then there were still people at the time. Sorry, I was just gonna say you're crying, and there were still people at the time who still believe today who are like, the problem was Americans who were getting these loans mm-hmm. that they couldn't afford. Mm-hmm. That's the real problem. Were these poor people yep. who were getting these loans
because
that even
that's,
though
that's America that is how people. People think that you need to be able to be self-sufficient and you should be able to operate everything and every investment that you make should be smart and wise, and you can't make any mistake. You can't you can't put your hopes and dreams into a bad investment, right? That an investment that ends up going poorly, right? It is your fault if you take out a bad loan and if you're poor and if you don't have good prospects, right? Like that is on you. That's how people view America.
It's on the but this is the thing that people don't understand about finance. If you just think about it in terms of a friend, you as a person, imagine yourself as a bank. If a friend who is always late, who ditches you all the time, who like always seems to be never being able to hold down a job, comes to you and they're like, can I borrow $20,000? You would never give that person $20,000. But these people are like, yeah, I'll give you $20,000. You have to pay me back with interest. And they go, great. And then you loan out all your money to all people like that. And then none of them can pay you back. And so then you have no more money. And you're like, well, I'm too big to fail though. So government has to give me money to replace all the money from those delinquents who couldn't pay me back with interest. Whose fault is that? It's your fault.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
No, it's... I agree with you.
So anyway, so then of course the government comes and immediately...
let me tell you, when... So first, the government's there immediately. But when...
Immediately.
When Samuel L. Jackson and Anthony Mackie walk into the bank, I have never been more scared in my life.
they just walk were like,
into the bank. It was like, oh, this is done. There's no, it's all done. If they're doing this, it's done. And it was. That was the end of the line.
They were desperate. They were like, you got to fit. Like, are you an idiot?
And
so
yes,
he disobeyed them. He disobeyed them twice. He went behind their back twice, did two ridiculously stupid things. And now the bank, literally the FDIC comes in, closes the bank, takes it over. And then they're arrested by the FBI. He's not arrested, even though he's the one who did this stuff. And technically is on the forms as well. And so he winds up betraying them. And then later on, the governor, a senator from Arkansas or something was like, look, if you just say this is what happened, the white guy was right, you guys were the masterminds, blah, 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 we'll give you immunity. And then we'll make some laws that are like, you know, you gotta, I don't know what the law is that he was trying to do. It was going to be some racist law. Like, if you're going to sell a bank, you have to be there in person. You know what I mean? Whatever
right,
it is. Something
right.
where it didn't have to say, here's what people fail to understand. The law doesn't have to say black people are not allowed to own a bank. All it has to say is, if you are trying to purchase a bank, you must, you know, meet with another person face to face, and then that person can decide whether or not they want to do business mm-hmm. with you. Knowing that it's already done. The work of racism has already been accomplished. So you don't need to say it explicitly anymore because the law said it explicitly for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And the mindset of people are already there. That's what they call implicit bias. How much teaching do we do on this show?
Are you kidding? Do you listen to this show? have you heard this show before?
So then Anthony Mackie has a choice to make. Is he going to tell the truth and defend himself, knowing that they'll throw the book at him? Or is he going to lie and say that
Here's the thing. I don't trust the immunity, right?
Of course not.
I didn't even feel like he was even going to consider that deal, even though we then have a conversation. It's like him and Nia Long, and she says, mm-hmm. I've loved you ever since the first day I saw you, which we know isn't true because this is a different wife at this point. This isn't a thing that she said. There's a different wife talking to him before he goes into the Supreme Court. But he was never going to consider the immunity deal because he wasn't going to get it. He was never they were gonna say you have immunity, and then he was gonna get in his car, and then he was gonna be
they'll arrest him for something else. 100%.
I mean, right?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. They'll get him for something else. They easily can. You know, just a quick reminder that the Central Park Five all confessed to murdering a person that they didn't murder because the cops told them like they would be able to go home if they just said this thing. Ugh. So this happens all the time. What is it? Something crazy, like 97% of trial of criminal cases don't go to trial. You know, it's not because the cops are always catching the right bad guy and those bad guys are making plea deals. It's because people are scared of a system that doesn't work. And so they rather admit to something that they didn't do to get less time than go to trial and get a super long time for something that they didn't do. Anyway, so, and then that's that. They go to jail. It ends on them coming out, and like apparently Nicholas Hoult called them and was like, or he was like, hey, I'm facing 50 years. He literally called them so that he could remove his white guilt. He knew what he was going to do already. Yep. He was like, hey, man, so I messed up and I could go and, you know, for all the things I did, I should go to jail for 50 years because, like, that's the law and I broke the law. But I don't have to because I'm white and I could just blame you because you're black. And that kind of sucks. I feel bad about, like, that's not right. But obviously, I'm not going to go to jail for 50 years if I could just blame you because I'm black. So is that okay?
And then they were, my man said, do what you got to do.
Do what you got to do. Hey, man, let me remove that white guilt for you, man.
We have a home in the Bahamas. So let's go.
But yeah, so he purchased them homes in Bahamas, I guess. I don't know. This is probably where I want to know, like, what they actually
they
did.
They do end up having property in the Bahamas after that. Like, that is real. Is that how it happened? And what? And also, what are we supposed to feel? Why do they? It just made me mad the way they presented this. Like, I don't.
Right.
Why hold that? I don't. Whatever. I don't. Matt Steiner, I can't with that guy. I can't. White people.
Oh, look, they tried to. Him and Linda tried to buy a bank in the Bahamas, but then they were denied because of his conviction in Texas.
Past. Mm-hmm. And then they got a divorce shortly thereafter.
He moved back to the United States.
Here's something I was thinking the whole time I was watching the movie. The whole time. The whole time I was watching this movie, Bray.
What were you thinking?
This is a thought I had. Why was Falcon and Nick Fury in the 60s, because it don't make sense, because they in the chronology of the films,
no,
they're in present day,
no,
you know, and so Falcon is in.
No. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about
the banker.
Yeah, so
they were not. I thought this nothing to do with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I thought this was the first one in Phase 4. This is the first movie in Phase 4.
Possibly think that this was the first
because
there
were
zero
Falcon
mutant
in
powers.
What he was doing with
those
his
are
mind?
Actors.
What he was doing with his mind? All of that intelligence? Woo! My man was doing all that math in his head. and then they had Beast. I was like, why is Beast in this?
Beast. That's not even the. They haven't even combined those.
They haven't combined them yet. I was like, oh, this is the first one because they now had the rights now because of the Fox deal. I was like, oh, okay.
No, you're just noting that. All famous actors have appeared in the MCU.
That's not because this is the first movie in Phase 4, and they do it. Maybe it was a weird Days of Future Past thing where they're like, you know, blending time.
So, no, they literally had that movie already.
I know,
they
but
already
like, but
made Days
not,
of Future Past,
but not in the MCU yet. Though this is the first one in the MCU within it.
Just because you're making a box with your hands doesn't mean you're making any more sense than you think you are. Because
it's now...
All right. Hold on. I just want to talk to Hollywood real quick. Hollywood. First of all, figure stuff out before you make this movie. You can't be letting these stories get mired by controversy that you didn't bother to look up.
Listen,
that's
time,
it.
And time's been up, right? So like we're supposed to be like we're now in an age where we have to be more scrutinous. We should have always been this way, but now you got to just be scrutinizing every person that comes through.
That's the first thing. Second of all, good job. You know, you're starting to make some of these movies. You got to make more of them, okay? And you got to be okay with letting white people be the bad guys. And I'm talking about I'm talking about democratic, liberal, progressive-minded white people who are still the bad guys. Okay,
that's that quote unquote good, right?
Because you love making the Southern Dixie Democratic racist people the bad. You love making the super racist Republican dude the bad guy.
What, you talking
but
about
you
these
gotta
allies?
Be okay.
You talking
We're
about
making
the allies?
Yourself the bad guy.
Oh, snap!
If we're going to learn something, you got to be okay with that.
But Matt Steiner was their friend. He was their friend. They worked together.
He was literally Judas Iscariot. He was literally Judas. He was the worst.
No, but
he betrayed them. But you know what? Black people still forget. He still got forgiveness. It was just like Jesus. He still got forgiveness. And there's forgiveness there.
But why was Nick Fury?
You gotta recognize
why was
you're
Nick
wrong.
Fury? Because he didn't have his eye patch at this time, so he could see clearly. You know, so this, so chronologically,
I don't like this bit.
What are you saying? All right.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
All right, it's time for the cause. Rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. All right?
All right, okay.
If we believe it fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If we think it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we
white
think
palm.
It didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything.
Don't give it nothing.
On the count of three. One, two, three.
Pow! And
right,
I'm doing another one. Oh, what? This one's for Gerard.
There's no need for that.
Yeah, and also, who knows? He might not have given it a fist.
Yeah. Gerard was like not wanting to watch this movie, I guess because it was called The Banker. Oh, he thought it was going to be Hidden Figures-esque.
He's not wrong.
I do think it was less Hidden Figures-esque because there wasn't a white guy who saved anybody. But
they had the Bahamas house in the chamber. They were like,
it was that like little polish, that little like, huh? Where all the, and then you like lift up the rug and all the dirt's underneath the rug.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Bahamas thing was weird.
It was weird.
It was like, because there was a part of me that was like, this isn't even a happy, like, even if that was true, even if they were like, they go to the Bahamas and they lived happily ever after on the Bahamas, I was like, cool, so the U.S. exiled them.
Yeah.
I was like, the ending of this movie was like, two real super smart black people got put in prison and then, like, had to leave America to live, like, a fruitful life. They had to leave America. I was like, do you understand what the ending of this movie is? And like, also to make Nicholas Hoult be like, I'll do you one last favor. It's like, he's not doing a favor.
No.
He's trying to make penance for his sins. And he's not really doing it. It was the least he could do. He could have admitted his guilt. Anyway. All right. And told the truth. Okay, so.
Yep. But I gave it a fist.
Thank you, guys.
Because this was great. This movie was freaking great.
You know, I do think it's worth watching. You know, if you can somehow get some, you know, maybe get a free, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess you're saying if you can get a free.
No, I mean, like, if you have money, you should get Apple. Because who knows? Maybe we'll have shows on Apple soon.
Wow, what are you talking about? What could you possibly be talking about?
I would say you never know. Oh, I'm going to read a review. This one is from Nguyen Brian, 17. Important podcast. My first encounter with y'all was live at South by Southwest when I went to see Jake and Amir. So glad y'all were there too, because this has been one of my favorite podcasts ever since. Oh, that's awesome. I studied theater education at UT, and I've brought up your podcast in multiple discussions. Y'all make such hilarious conversation, but also share why it's important right now, and it's incredibly enjoyable. I've learned so much about exceptional and atrocious representation in film. Bray, love the intro bits. James, keep the Hancock bit, but it's time for a different movie.
What?
Gerard, bring back the swirl. P.S., if y'all review season 4 of The Wire, I will become a patron. If y'all haven't watched The Wire, then oh my God. It couldn't be more perfect for this podcast, especially in light of the events of 2020. Thank y'all.
Yeah, but cool. Here's the thing. I've talked about so many movies. Do you remember the year when I did?
You did. You were trying
movie
to find
every time.
You were trying to find it. You were like After Earth.
And then I
like,
did a year. And then I did a year of connecting every movie to Hancock.
Well, that was cool. But then they wanted, you know, because then you did Gemini. You did Gemini Man for a little bit, but you didn't commit to it fully.
And then I did a couple months of talking about how bad Hancock is.
Set a time for a different movie, not a different.
No, but
bit.
I'm saying, but that just was the return. That
it was a fun. That was a fun return.
All right,
Gemini Man just wasn't the one. We gotta find.
I mean, another bad movie.
Is it bad?
We'll figure it out. Uh oh. Bray just starts asking.
All right, this podcast is way too long. We'll
An
see.
An hour and 35 minutes. All right. See you next
time. See you guys next week. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!